Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie, excited to welcome you here for the power of article writing for your book writing career. And we're here today with Marcy Scyther. She is a great one to talk to us about this. We're going to be talking about how to quickly and effectively connect with your audience, readers, and influencers before your book launches, how to extend your reach by connecting with those who have a different or larger audience so you can cast a wide net, how to hone your craft so you can write tight and write wide. Also, how to build your buzz and keep it going. Because once your book launches, you need to have lots of ways to keep your name and topic in the public eye. Also, we're going to talk about how to request Marcy's free Banana Peels Brainstorming How-To Guide. And right now, I'm going to introduce Marcy. She has she first published in a small town newspaper before writing hundreds of articles and writing for guideposts and Focus on the Family. She has authored 4 books. You can learn more about her over at marcyscyther.com and also invite her to speak via womenspeakers.com. I know the name of my website. So womenspeakers.com. So excited to welcome you here, Marcy.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what how people can find me.
That's great. Well, thank you for being here. I know you just got back from writers' conferences and from The World Magazine, and excited that you took time to be with us today. So thank you so much. I want you to try to remember back to being an early writer and what was a huge intimidation for you in the early days.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I probably am the only one in my high school who ever was demoted from electric back to manual typewriter. So typing, and the other thing was when you would have to read a book and do a book report to get an A in English, I was the only one probably who made up everything. Like, I made up the book, the publisher. I just was too busy doing other things, and I would just make up the whole entire thing. I would just make sure that it drug in the middle so that my teachers wouldn't want to read it, because that was way before the internet. So I would just say, you know, I loved it, kind of drug in the middle, or I wish the main character had died, something like that. So I just I want to encourage people that sometimes people have this idea that they have to have a English degree or a journalism degree. And that's not the case for writing. Like, you can actually just be a storyteller. And sometimes the Lord puts inside of you something you didn't even know was there. I would have been the least likely to publish anything when I was young. I always loved stories, and I always loved storytelling. And so I loved that thing with Gideon in the Bible, when the angel of the Lord comes to him on the threshing floor and says, "Hey, mighty warrior. Well, you know, you," and he's like, "kind of the weenie in the family. It's in the middle of the night." And that might be you. He might be coming to you and saying, "Hey, mighty writer, I have a message that I want you to pen for somebody else that needs to hear this." And so I want to encourage you, if you have never thought that you were a writer because you didn't have the degree or the credentials, that doesn't mean that God's not calling you to be a storyteller and impact the kingdom. And so I just wanted to start off with that, because people do ask, like, "Oh, did you always want to grow up to be a writer?" No.
And for those of you who follow this show, you know, I didn't learn to read really until I was an adult, and now I have written 14 published books. So I'm totally right there with you. Don't let anybody tell you no. If God is calling you to a yes, just say yes. Just go with Jesus.
Yes, go with the Lord. Go. Jesus is always the right answer.
That's right.
So just That's to great. Go ahead and then to see where the Lord's going to direct you. Yeah. But so when I first started, the first thing I ever published was because I was sending, it was back in the day of "You've Got Mail." Yeah. And I would write to my mom. We were living in Minnesota at the time. So I'd write to my mom and I would fax it to her, because it was more reliable than the internet at that time. I would fax her these letters about our kids, and she'd say, "Oh, honey, these are hilarious. You've got to send these in." only hilarious to you because they happen to us and you love me and that's why you're encouraging me. She goes, no, everyone in the whole office is really enjoying these. I was like, that's really creepy. But she's like, please submit something. And so I had a friend who said, if you ever want to submit something, I will clean it up for you. So we looked through my pile. I got brave enough. I just walked back and forth in front of a small town paper, finally walked in. I said, hey, I do have kind of a question. Do you take anything off the street? And they actually did. They had, the editor was gone and, so she said, go back, talk to the assistant. And it was a timely piece for Valentine's Day. It was about a cookie baking fiasco with the kids. And it ran in the paper. And that was it. I was totally hooked. I felt like Mike Wazowski, like, I'm in the paper.
Right. Oh, that's so fun.
Well, the editor came back and she said, hey, we read what you wrote, which is now so terrible. I can only use it for examples of what not to do. But the Lord is in control of that too, because she said, we loved it. Could you write a family humor column for us once a month? And so that's what kind of got me started. And then what really got me going with article writing, and this was several years later, we had moved. I missed writing for the paper, went into another small town paper, and they said, yeah, you could write a family humor column for us once a month. But then something happened. I was teaching water aerobics and it was an outside pool and somebody passed out face down. It was not a time we were supposed to even be there. They were face down drifting to the edge. So I just went into lifeguard mode, you know, check, call care, flipped her over, cleared the pool, got her backboarded, and she made it. And March is National Red Cross Awareness Month. And so the editor was like, oh, could you write about this? Because March is National Red Cross Awareness Month. And we never have a human interest story to tie into the sidebar of where to renew your certificate. And so I wrote about the fact that the hero is not the right person who's at the right place at the right time. A real hero is somebody who's prepared themselves in advance to be the right person at the right place at the right time. And here's where you can go, the sidebar information, here's where you can go to renew your CPR certificate. And that's when it clicked for me that the sidebar information is the most important real estate of a paper. And if you tie a human interest story into that small section, then that's going to sell a story. So that's how I actually sold hundreds of stories to the local paper.
So when you're talking about connecting quickly and effectively with readers before your book comes out, is this what you're talking about? Is through articles?
Through articles, through blog posts. If you can write short, if you can write long, you can write short. Or if you can long, I mean, because some people think they just have to write this book. They have this feeling like, I just need this book. And maybe somebody's told them, oh, you should write a book. Well, a really good book is 10,000 for a run. But if you get into just even the local paper, that could be 20,000. And so if you have a message, you could be connecting with people through articles or through blogs. And let's say I have a friend and she's got a ministry for moms. And I want to write to her about like, hey, this is how I prepared our home for when our first son left for the service. And I was a guest on her blog or her podcast. And I can say, oh yeah, I'm the author of Empty Nest Strategies to Help Your Kids Take Flight. I didn't say, hey, can I tell you about my book? Because I thought about her audience. What does her audience care about? They care about, wow, this is, I'm going into their senior year. This is my year of lasts, my last prom, my last parent teacher conference. And so if I can address the needs for her audience, what can we do to help your audience? That's helping her. And then as a result, I just say, yeah, I'm the author of Empty Nest Strategies to Help Your Kids Take Flight. Yeah. I didn't talk about my book. In fact, that's not even in my book, but that's some way that you can start connecting and expanding your reach. So
I always like to remind you when you're pitching an article, blog, guesting, whatever you're pitching, to remember to focus on, like what you're saying, the benefits instead of the features. Like instead of saying, I wrote a book, it's 212 pages long, there are, you know, 14 chapters, it's been endorsed by, how does that change anybody's life?
Yeah.
But instead, if you go, what I'm going to talk about is going to change people's lives. It's going to make their lives better, easier, less stressful, more loving, whatever. If you can focus on those things, that's what the blog host, that's what the article people need. They need something that's actually going to make a difference for people, not just information about what you're sharing in your book.
Right. And yeah. Are you familiar with Lord of the Rings? It's sometimes people just want to hold the ring and take it themselves. But we are Sam. We are the be Sam. Help the person that you are assisting to get the ring to where it needs to go. They have an obligation to their listeners or to their readers. So you're not Frodo in this situation. You're Sam, and you want to know how can you help them help their audience.
Right.
And in that helping, then it still comes back to you, but you want to be in the helper's role. You don't want to be in the rescuing role. And so if you can think, you know, if I'm going to talk to moms of military kids, I'm definitely going to encourage them, but I'm not going to say, you should buy my book because my book will help you.
Right.
No, I should know, what are they dealing with right now? How can I help them? Or how can I help somebody who's just had their kid go off to college and they are experiencing the holidays for the first time without them? And so if you can address the needs of the people that you're pitching to, that's going to help you. And when you approach them about being a guest, you can say, these are 5 things that I can talk about. Yes. And then you have your book on there, but you could actually, before you have your book, you can actually say that this is a work in progress. You don't even have to have your book yet,
right?
Because you should be marketing a year before your book comes out. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but when people come to me and they say, hey, my book is out next week, can you help me with some marketing ideas? I'm like, what about your next book? I mean, it's never too late to start.
Yeah.
But you can be reaching out and just say, hey, I'm working on this book called Apronology, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. I would love to talk to you about these topics. I don't even have the book done, but I'm already buzzing about the topics in that so that when the book does come out, I can go back to that person and say, hey, I would, the book is out. I'd love to talk to you about it. I'd love to give a free copy to one of your readers or listeners.
Yes. Yeah. Love it. So when you think about casting a wide net, is there anything else there in that section that you wanted to share?
I think sometimes we get it in our mind of, what we wanted to talk about in our book, but you really need to think about what does your audience care about and go to those spots.
Right.
You know, like some of my audience might care about RVing. And if so, and here I'm talking about grandparenting. Well, if my audience cares about RVing, then I should talk about packing the RV so that you can take your grandkids with you on your next trip. You know, you need to think about what they care about so that you can you can kind of connect with that.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah. It's really all about, you have to get out of your own little bubble and see bigger. Yeah. See bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you, let's talk about honing your craft so you can write tight and also write wide. What were your thoughts when you said, I want to talk about this?
One of the illustrations that I use in Brainstorming Banana Peels, which is free to your listeners, is about my grandmother. She was a seamstress. And every year, maybe twice a year, if we'd had a growth spurt, she would take our measurements and she would make us things. And it fit perfectly. She'd take our measurements, write it on an index card, and she kept that with her sewing stuff. It was a little traumatic to get a polyester leisure suit, double knit leisure suit for fourth grade picture day. But it fit perfect. I'm just saying. So, but my grandmother would have never made a beautiful beaded gown and then hoped to find somebody it fit.
Oh, right.
And I think that's what happens for, as writers. They make this beautiful beaded gown because they never took the measurements of their audience. What do your what does your audience care about? How, what makes them cry at night? What makes them laugh? What makes them feel alone? And so if you can take good measurements of your audience and know exactly how you're going to minister to them, then it makes your writing more specific to that person.
Yeah.
And to meet that felt need. Because if you have, if you're just thinking, I just am a Christian, and I just want to write to Christians about what it is to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a broad market. Yeah. So, but the person, if you can take the measurements of your audience before you start writing, yeah, then chances are you're going to hit that right where they need it the most.
I love it. And you'd be surprised how many people are in each of those markets. Yeah. Yeah, the smaller niches. Okay. So how do we build our buzz and keep it going?
So one of the things I did is, now I'm talking about my book, but,
it's
okay. The book that came out, Lakeside Retreat. And, but before Lakeside Retreat came out, before Lakeside Retreat came out, I was already talking about what it means to rest. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about going to the cabin, going to the lake. I was pulling up pictures of me as a child with my fishing pole. And then before the book was even released, I started creating a small, and this is just something I gave to my people I saw at book signings, people I met online, and I could mail it to them. I created a small recipe book that connected to these recipes, or that connected to the book. It doesn't even really talk about my book in this. I mean, it just is recipes, but they're lakeside influenced recipes. And then before the book was out and before this was out, it was Christmas time, and I created a recipe card that had lakeside gingerbread cake. And all it was it had some of the same graphic that I knew was going to be in the book. I created a gingerbread cake for Christmas time. And then I just handed those recipe cards out. I did these beautiful little recipe cards. I went to a huge craft event, and all I did was hand out the recipe cards. People didn't even know I had a book coming. But I did say, this is the best cake. So this cake is so good, you'll want to lick your cast iron skillet. And then I said, oh, and the salted caramel sauce that goes on top, just go to my website. I've got the recipe there. That was it. I mean, I didn't say, hey, I've got a book, you should look at it. Hey, I've got a book coming out, I'd love to talk to you about it. I just sent them to my website. And so I think that was a great way to introduce my book, because people went to my website that would have never gone to my website. And they said, wow, if she can give something out that this is this fantastic, I can't wait to see what else she has.
So, and I think that's actually the bottom line right there. Is if you continue to give quality, when people come to you and you're giving them quality of something they're interested in, then when you offer something more, free or paid, they're going to raise their hand and be like, yeah, I need that too. You know, and I think that that's the whole thing.
Yeah. And it didn't even have a buy my book.
Right.
It just had, hey, this is a great lakeside. This is a lakeside gingerbread cake. So I was just getting the buzz out there about lakeside. But anyway, I think that's an important thing. And I think some people do it really well. And I think sometimes when you go to somebody's site and all they have is pictures of their book, we have to think that readers want to go on a journey with the writers.
Beautiful.
And so when we did a 30-day book launch for Lakeside Retreat, and I took a reel every single day, and wow, I would put just a 1-minute reel together, and people told me, even up to a year later, I loved going on that journey with you. And I think that's what readers want. Even if you're writing fiction, if you've been doing historical documentation, take pictures of where you've gone. Take pictures of the headstones. Take pictures of the flowers that are blooming and just say, yeah, I'm researching this project. Take your readers on the journey with you instead of just saying, oh, and I wrote a book while you weren't watching and here it is.
Yeah, right. Don't pop it on them. Don't pop it on them. I always say, you know, if you're a really good friend of mine and I got pregnant, you'd be one of the first people to know. But people who maybe didn't know me so closely, they would just hear that I had a baby and, you know, like that. And everybody kind of wants to be in that group that's the first to know. Everybody kind of wants to be on the journey, like you say.
Yeah, they do. They want to know, okay, this was hard. This was hard. You know, sometimes, and I think that's the other thing, is to be authentic.
Yes.
Sometimes you see only the good things, like, oh, this was a beautiful day. Everything turned out great. And I'm just, everything's great. But they want to see when life gets messy. They want to see you show up on Facebook Market or Facebook Lives, and you haven't worried about whether you combed your hair or not. I mean, they want to see, they want to feel like they can have coffee with you at your next stop. And so I think that's a big thing, is that there's so much pressure on being perfect, and we need to have less perfection and just be present. It's more important to be present than it is to be perfect.
Okay, so let's do a little caveat right there. Because real authentic life, we want to be real and authentic. But when your book comes out, you want to make sure that you have got that edited very well. It's a whole different thing. It's a whole different level of expectation. The book itself, the article itself needs to be polished.
Yes. and I am guilty of sometimes missing things. But I... one of the books that I just read, I had it right here in front of me. I'll find it. I'll think about which one it is. It's the Feature Writing by William Blendell.
Okay.
And that, if you can read that, that's great. It's Feature Writing by William Blendell. He's a New York Times bestseller, or he worked for the New York Times. Great book on journalistic writing. So that's a great one. Don't just have your mom read your stuff. Even if she's a good reader and a good writer, make sure you have a critique group. That's a great one. First thing is to have a prayer group, because you, this is ministry, this is kingdom work. And the enemy is not super happy to have you involved in kingdom work. And so if you can have a prayer team, that's a great idea.
I'd say one thing just to consider, a smaller prayer team is actually easier and more effective than a large, humongous prayer team. As many people can pray for you as possible, maybe with a newsletter, but as far as your small team, you don't have time actually to contact 20 people individually about everything that's going on.
Yeah. And your prayer team and your launch team are two separate teams.
Yes.
So it's not like, okay, well, you've been on my prayer team. So,
All right. I want to stop here and make sure everybody knows how to get a hold of your Banana Peels Brainstorming How To Guide. Just go to the bottom under this video or under this radio show, and you can find the link there to that. It's a freebie. What are they going to find inside of that, Marcy?
So inside of that, we're going to talk about how to come up with your great ideas, because sometimes that's the other thing. People just get kind of stumped. That's one of the things that I teach at a lot of conferences, is how to brainstorm effectively. And it's always great to see people like, oh, I didn't get that. But it teaches you how to really, it's called mind mapping or brainstorming or clustering, where you take an idea. And a good example of that was, I wrote a book called The Adventures of Pearlie Monroe. And so I just thought of what, and it's for fourth grade, it's a fourth grade historical reader. I thought of what is every fourth grader in California have to teach for part of that California history. And I wrote all of those things down. And then I made sure that Pearlie's adventure touched on each of those topics. And then, because it was crowdsourced, kickstarted, I had for the teachers word search and crossword puzzles based on the true facts from each chapter.
Nice.
And when teachers say, oh my gosh, you you nailed so many things. So because I had taken their measurements beforehand. And so that's that was how I did that. And that's the kind of information that's going to be in Brainstorming Banana Peels.
Great. That's super. Okay. We have a couple minutes left. I want to circle back to a launch team because you mentioned it. And for those of you who don't know what that is, before you write a book, I'm sorry, before you launch a book, you can have a team of pre-readers and supporters who you gather usually on Facebook groups or however you want to do it. And so what are some of the things that you have done with your launch teams to help prepare for a book launch?
First off, is I encourage them that if they, I sent them some copies. I also had this booklet that I gave them. Yeah. And then this was super cheap to mail because you do have to think about that.
Yeah.
So I actually had envelopes that fit this so that I could mail it. I also created small air fresheners that had the book title on it, and it smelled just like what a cabin would smell like because those were easy. And what happens when people open the door when they get to the cabin, they go,
yes, indeed.
So I created custom air fresheners to go with my book. That all went to the launch team. And I think that it's really important to encourage your launch team. A lot of times I've seen it where people have said, okay, and when the book comes out, you all have to buy my book. But I encourage my launch team that if you would like to buy my book, that's great. And if not, if buying one more book is not something that you can do right now, if you could encourage your local library to carry my book, that would be great. So have a launch team is to really encourage them on how to spread the word. The people who are your cheerleaders, these are like the people, if you've ever gone on a run or an athletic event, these are the people with the cup of water who are holding it as you're passing by. You know, they're cheering you on. So make it easy for them to cheer you on. And so by giving them graphics, by, you know, my launch team, basically, I contacted everybody on our drive across to California and back from Tennessee. I contacted people on my launch team and asked if they could help me set up a book signing in their area. And it worked. I mean, it was great because they were partnering with you. And you need to value them as partners too. So, but yeah, launch teams have changed a little bit. It used to be just, people talking about your stuff, but really if you can actually go or be more present, be creative in how you reach out, that's, that has better bang for your buck.
That's awesome. And I think one thing to remember that your launch team are not professional marketers. So do not expect them to just know what to do. Exactly what you said, Marcy, give them exactly, here's an image and here's what you can say when you share the image. Give them exactly what they could do to help.
Yes. And then let them know that you are really excited about being there. Like if they've set up something, make sure that you always followed up with a thank you. Make sure that you always, you know, give them a gift, give somebody else a gift while you're there. But, you know, hosting something is not always a small deal. And so having, it doesn't matter which size it ends up being, the fact that somebody helped to set that up for you is worthy of your gratitude.
I love that. Love that. Well, this has gone so fast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
You guys want to be sure to check out Marcy's stuff. Her website again is Marcy Seither, SEITHER.com. And also she's available to speak via womenspeakers.com. When they get over to MarcySeither.com, you've already mentioned a couple things that are there. Is there anything else you want them to particularly check out?
I have a lot of really good recipes.
That's awesome.
So they're welcome to check those out.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. Love you. Love what you're doing in the world. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Marnie.
And thanks you guys for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.